Dear Father, we just come to you this morning, submitting ourselves to you and to your Spirit here this morning. Lord, we've got busyness in our lives. We've got things that we're dealing with. And Lord, we just surrender those to you this morning and want to come before you and hear what you're speaking to us. Lord, I just pray that you'd minister to each one of us, that we would be vessels to flow through, that you can flow through us, and that we would be able to minister to one another when we partake of what you're giving to us. And we thank you for that, Lord. We praise you. And Lord, we pray for the ones that are sick amongst us. We think of Joanne. We think of different people that are not well. And we just pray that you would minister to them. We pray for our pastor on his vacation, Lord. We just pray that you'd minister a great rest to him too. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for just being here in your presence this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Couple announcements. First, we have Catch the Vision Night. That is on Sunday, February 28th. It's the evening, right?
Yeah, 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. That's a Sunday evening. 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. It says 6 o'clock here. Sorry. Yeah. 6 o'clock. If some of you want to come at 7, you won't catch quite the whole vision. That's all. So, anyways, that is we would really like everybody to be there. It's important, so if you can be there. Next Saturday is the marriage simulcast. We've got 10 couples signed up, and we have room for 25 couples. So if you have not signed up, you can sign up, and I'm going to break all the rules. Sorry, Tanya, if you're here, and those that are telling me not to do this, sign up and don't even pay today. For all of you that paid, sorry, I can see Tanya's giving me that eye. John must know what that is. But anyways, it is phenomenal content, so we really would like you to come. Sign up. If you can afford to come, then just pay Art at the door when you come. It's 9 o'clock is registration. At the training center at Haldeman Motors in Cayuga. You will like it. I guarantee it. I'm very, very confident in that. What's that? Okay, nothing. So if you can sign up, and if you can't afford, then we don't get paid. So that's okay. So we would rather have it the 25 couples there. So if you can do that, that would be phenomenal. So I got asked to speak in a... about a year ago, I got asked to speak at a business college, which was kind of strange for me, a little bit different setting. I had to speak to the faculty and to administration staff. And I spoke on empowerment. And ever since that time, that was in March of last year, ever since that time, the Lord's been dealing with me in this area. So what I'm speaking to you might be a little bit different than what I spoke to them, actually quite a bit different than what I spoke to them, but it is basically what I spoke to them was the Word of God also, in a little bit of a different twist. But the word empowerment, I gave the definition to them, and I'm going to give the definition to you, and if you can grasp this, I hope it goes up there. To provide working conditions, resources, and training to enable people to accomplish goals and creative accomplishments for which they were hired, so that they can not only be a contributing factor to the team, but also experience worth with a sense of ownership. I'm going to read it once more, because that's a big mouthful of stuff to hear. So, to provide working conditions, resources, and training to enable people to accomplish goals and creative accomplishments for which they were hired so that they can not only be a contributing factor to the team, but also experience worth with a sense of ownership. Sounds nice, doesn't it? And the scripture, it's very scriptural. God empowered us. Right from the very beginning, God empowered you and me. And in Genesis 1, verse 26 and part of 28, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And then in verse 28 it says, and God blessed them. So he's empowered you and me. So I started, you all know, I have a little car lot, and I started 25 years ago in 1984, and 2 months after I started, I remember this night so vividly. I laid in bed at night. It was a day after an auction day, and auctions are extremely intimidating. You're there with a bunch of, in those days, we were there with a bunch of guys that had big beer guts and smoked big stogies and cussed more than most, I was going to say truck drivers, but I guess there's too many truck drivers here. But anyways, they were rough characters. And they could stare you down really well. And it's a fast, every car's being sold every 30 seconds. So you've got very little time to think about it. I came home one night and I was totally frustrated. In those days, I would buy maybe one, maybe two cars in a day. And I laid in bed that night and I bawled my eyes out. I said, Darda, I picked the wrong business. I can't do this. This is crazy. I cried out to God and I said, God, if you gave me dominion, where is it? I mean, like, I didn't feel it. I didn't have any sense of it. I felt lost. I felt stupid for leaving my job. All these different things. I did not feel empowered at that point in time by God. I did not feel in any sense of it. I felt totally, totally lost. I don't know if you've ever been there before. And God says, did you read the rest of the story? I says, I like the story you told me. You gave us power. You gave us dominion. I like that part of the story. He says, yeah, but in the center of the story, there's a tree. And it says in Genesis 2, verse 17, it says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, there's a ton of different ideas on this. But God shared with me right away that I wanted to know how to do things. For the 5 years prior to that, I had worked in a job. Arda worked in a job. We always had lots of money. We didn't have great jobs, but we always had seemed to have lots of money. I had everything under control. I could budget my bank account. I could do everything. My house was pretty well paid off. I was in good shape. Now, all of a sudden, I wasn't in control. My knowledge of right and wrong was out of control. And God said, I created you in a garden for dependency on me. You want to be interdependent. You want to be independent. But I created you in a garden for dependency on me. The only thing in that garden I asked of you was that your knowledge of good and evil, that you wouldn't partake of that, but that you would partake of me. So for the last 25 years, I've had to partake of him. And I'll tell you, this last year, he's allowed me to become totally, totally broken to be dependent on him. Now, I know I'm part of a small group, and we've went through different things in the small group, people that have been broken. But God says that tree in the middle of the garden wasn't just an obedience thing. Wasn't just a thing to say, haha, I've got one up on you. It was to say, I want you to be dependent on me. I didn't like that. I'm in control. I was raised in a household where we knew how to handle our money real well. We were taught, drilled into us, how to handle our money. I was taught, basically, how to be a dependent person. An independent person. I've got this in order, this in order, this in order, this in order. So the tree got me into the mess. And so he allowed a tree to get us out of the mess. And he uses the word faith from then on. And in 1 Corinthians 1 verse second half of 24 and verse 25 is from the Message Bible, so it's pretty wild, but your pastor uses this all the time. So Christ is God's ultimate miracle and wisdom all wrapped up in one. Human wisdom is so tiny, so impotent, next to seeming absurdity of God. Human strength can't begin to compete with God's weakness. I've had to start depending on His strength. Now that sounds, we say so many of these things so often, and we know Christianese. We know it inside and out. We know what to say. And then the rubber hits the road, and we say, God, are you not here? Are you not listening to me? Are you not answering my prayers, God? Why do I go through these things? And He says, I gave you Christ's ultimate, ultimate wisdom. But God, I'd rather just take a bite of that fruit of that tree in the center of the garden. I'd rather do a study course on how to handle the recessionary economics. You understand that? I got a payroll of 105 people. Is it not easier for me just to study economics? I like studying economics. I'm not a good reader, but give me an economics book. I like reading it. God says, come before me and become dependent on me. Don't take of that tree. You wonder why God... I spent 2 years where I never spoke in a church practically. Everywhere I spoke was in business settings. And it was such a miracle that last year I spent that time preparing for that business college. Because the Lord was preparing me for a road ahead of me. And He started to show me the different things throughout different things. So I says, okay, I want to know how to receive your empowerment, Lord. I want to know how you're going to provide working conditions, if you can put that on the screen again, how you can provide working conditions, resources, training to enable me to accomplish the goals and creative accomplishments for which I was called. So that I can not only be a contributing factor to your team, but also experience the worth with a sense of ownership. Lord, I want to come to that place. So tell me how you're going to do that. Lord has a crazy way of telling you how to do stuff. He takes you through one more thing. He trains you in every aspect of your life. So he said, so I says, how do I get to that? And He says, first of all, is forgiveness. I can't go nowhere with you until you come to a place of forgiveness. It says in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, this is just after the Lord's Prayer. It says, in prayer, there is a connection between what God does and what you do. You can't get forgiveness from God, for instance, without also forgiving others. If you refuse to do your part, you cut yourself off from God's part. I'm going to tell you a story how I came here to this church. Came here based on a doctrinal indifference at the place I used to go. I was right. They were doing something wrong. I had scriptural context. I had everything right. So I stood up in a congregational meeting, according to what I believed was the right thing to do. I said, I'm removing myself from under the covering of this church. I'd spoken to the elders prior to that. I left the church, came to this church, spoke to Ralph, I think, at the time, and I said, I want to put myself under the covering of this church. Pretty cool. I was pretty proud. I didn't get angry. Just did everything to the right, and I was right. By the way, just so you don't read the second side of the story, I was right, okay? I did, according to Scripture, I was 100% right. That wasn't right. My heart was wrong before the Lord. It doesn't matter who's right. It doesn't matter whether you got everything, all your ducks in order. It doesn't matter what it is. Your heart has to be right before the Lord. And Arta, about a year after we were here, and you know, we had the Sunday evening services then. And the Sunday evening services, for those of you who were previously from Pentecostal backgrounds, Sunday evening services were the warm and fuzzy services. And they were pretty good and warm and fuzzy here too. And so you had your altar calls at the end of the services. Sorry, if that's my tradition, okay? So, and you would come and you would say all your stuff. You'd be pretty well pumped for at least Monday. You got enough energy from that, at least for Monday. By Tuesday, it was starting to falter a little bit, but it, you know, I mean, it was pretty decent. We got a pretty good run out of it. And so every week, the Lord would speak to me and get me onto this thing, and I was battling with it in my heart. And Arta come to me and says, John, somebody showed me this pamphlet on marriage weekend retreat. It was the Catholic Church used to do it called Marriage Encounter. It's all the way in Rochester. I've just made the announcement about next Saturday's marriage thing, so you guys can, I mean, listen to me here. But I thought, oh, shoot, one of these marriage things. And it was a two-day thing, too. Like, so, you mean, you're really into it then. And they were going to get into your inner, you mean, your feelings and all that crap that you don't want to get into, right? So I thought she was good enough to be patient with me, and she slowly got me won over, wooed over. And so we went to Rochester to this thing. I went with the idea that I'm doing this for my wife. Whatever. That was about it. And we went there, and they talked about something. I forget what it was. And then they let you go to two separate rooms. Who did that thing? You guys did it, right? Yeah. So you go to two separate rooms, right? So I got the hotel room, which was perfect because there's a football game on. So you're supposed to go to those two separate rooms, and you're supposed to think about what was said or something, and then come back together, and everything was supposed to be honky-dory. I forget exactly what the scoop was. But anyways, so we went to our two separate rooms, and God spoke to me. Nothing to do with our marriage, so I thought. Nothing to do with our marriage. And God spoke to Arta, wherever she was, but nothing to do with our marriage, so we thought. We came back together, and I says, so what did he tell you? I figured I was going to get foot rubs for the next year or so, but anyways, no. We both were kind of stuttering just a little bit, and God had told us both, in two separate places, that we had to go back and ask forgiveness from the church we came from. It was our hearts. Not the logistics of what we were all about. Talk about a screw-up. Listen to David. The guy messed up. I think if David was in this church, we'd ban him. Really, because he really was a screw-up. He messed up in every area you could possibly think of, yet his heart was right before the Lord. The Lord spoke to both of us the exact same thing. We went to that marriage seminar. You know what? I think it helped our marriage. God said, your marriage can't go any farther unless you come to a place of forgiveness. I can't empower you as an individual. You here, as an individual, unless you come to that place of forgiveness. We came home. It was so passionate in our hearts. The Lord had spoken to us so clearly. Came home. The minute I walked into the house, I made a phone call to all the elders. And we went out for dinner with them. The Lord challenged me the next morning, because it was going to be the Monday night. We came home the Sunday afternoon. The Lord challenged me Monday morning in my devotions that be prepared that it will not go necessarily the way you want it. We went out for dinner. Oh, my. You know, I mean, it didn't seem, and I'm not saying nothing, I'm just saying that it was weird. It was totally, totally weird. It wasn't whether they answered me right. It wasn't whether all the words came out right. It was a matter of me forgiving and my heart right before the Lord. It didn't matter if they spit at me. It was a matter of me forgiving. Do you want to be empowered? Do you want God to provide a working conditions, resources, and training to enable you to accomplish the goals and creative accomplishments for which you were created? Do you want that? You're all in different stages of life. There's little tykes, teenagers. There's old farts. I mean, old people here, sorry. there's all kinds of people here. You mean we're all different venues of our life? Do you know what I mean? We all have different positions that we are in right now. And God has called us and he says, I want to enable you to accomplish the goals and creative accomplishments for which you were created. Whether you're 80 years old or 10 years old, I want to prepare you still today so that you can not only be a contributing factor to the team, but also experience worth with a sense of ownership. Do you understand that? That's what God wants for you. Come to a place of forgiveness. Not just in whether you're right or wrong. Come to a place of forgiveness in your heart. It was huge for Art and me. It was huge. Second thing I want to say to you about forgiveness is you got to go one step farther. In Matthew 18, verse 27... The story is about this servant that comes to his master. The master calls the servant in because he owes him a bunch of money. And he's ready to throw the servant into jail and take his wife and sell him off in slavery and his kids and house effects and all that sort of stuff. Can take the whole thing, the car, everything. And he says, the servant just begs and begs and begs and begs. And it says that then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Forgiveness is not just forgiveness. Forgiveness is compassion. Compassion looses that person. Compassion is to be moved to the point of others' inward feelings, to understand, why did they hurt me? This is huge in divorce situations. It's huge in business situations where the boss is being unfair and all these different things. Why did they do that? Come to a place of compassion. Do you want to be empowered so that you know what God has called you to do in a creative way? Come to a place of forgiveness with compassion. Not just forgiveness. Not just, you know what, when I talked about that meeting when we ask forgiveness from those couples, God overwhelmed us with compassion. And I was privileged when the pastor of that church, his wife passed away a few years back, and I was privileged on the morning that she actually passed away. He called me on the Friday and said, I can't speak on Sunday. And I can't ask the rest of my congregation. I can't ask anybody in the congregation. It's too emotional right now. Will you come and speak? Do you know what? The compassion within my heart was so overwhelming from the day we asked forgiveness that it meant so much to me to be able to do that. While I spoke, she passed away. That doesn't mean anybody's going to pass away this morning, but I have spoken since then. Nobody died. But anyways, what I'm saying is there's a deeper thing. Our Lord is our example. And he not just forgave that servant, but he had deep compassion. And I just say to you, let forgiveness go further than just the words of forgiveness. And let it go deeper to the place of compassion. Second thing that we have to deal with, and I'll tell you, I speak from experience this year, is fear. There's nothing worse as a boss, for me, for example, towards, if I'm empowering an employee, if I have an employee that's scared to do what they're called to do, it's very difficult for me to empower them. I had a situation late November, early December. I had a phone call on a Friday night. The phone call was extremely disturbing. It immediately, and I don't know if any of you have ever had that, you get one of these conversations or phone calls or situations, whatever you're in, it makes you flush all of a sudden. You get pale and you get the sweats. Try to sleep that night, you might as well kiss that goodbye. And in that situation, I didn't know what to do. And I said, God, help me. Didn't work. I still felt the same. Said, okay, I'll go to bed. Maybe I can shut this out. Didn't work. I was sweating. Full tilt sweating. I could not. So Arda got up. And she had to go help with Amy upstairs at the time. And so I was there by myself. I thought, oh, well, I don't know if any of you ever do this, but watch TV to shut the world out. Anybody ever do that? Works for me. But anyways, so I turned the TV on, and all it was murder shows, a documentary on bankruptcy. And so there was a bunch of different stuff. None of it was helping me at all. But anyway, so I turned to, I've got still a TV tower. I don't have all the fancy stuff because I'm cheap and Dutch and I don't want to pay the 60 or 100 bucks, whatever you guys pay for that crap. But anyways, so I've got on mine, it's 26-2, which is, there's two Christian stations, 26-1 and 26-2. 26-2, at 10 o'clock at night, they put old time TV shows on. It's a Christian station still. And so I went through all the channels, and the only thing that was on this 26-2, was Beverly Hillbillies. Something to laugh at, right? So I turned Beverly Hillbillies on, and I was shutting the world out. Instead of commercials, what they do is they put scripture scrolled on the screen with funeral music behind it, and not that that's... Talk a lot about death, isn't it? But anyways, but that's the kind of music they put in behind, right? And then some guy quotes it with a really good, dark, low voice, right? And so, and the Lord just hit me. He said, cast all your cares on me. And I can remember the whole thing. But anyways, it instantly gave me peace. The opposite of fear is faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God instantly gave me peace. The bizarre thing about this whole thing, I guess when you live with somebody so long, you think that you think the same, but that's not the case. It's the Holy Spirit that works the same in you. Arda comes downstairs and she says, God told me, you got to cast all your cares on Him, and He'll take care of your problems. Exact same scripture that was on the screen. The Lord spoke. His word casts out fear. Get into His word. Get into His word. He can't empower you if you are fearful. Just think about it in the natural world. Your kid's learning how to ride a two-wheeler. You know what I mean? And you, it can be two different scenarios. The parent can be scared too. I don't want little Johnny to skin his knees, so I'll just leave the training wheels on until he's 26. You know what I mean? We all do different things. And you know what? There's different parental styles here. Then the next one, you know what I mean? They're 2 years old, can barely walk, and they shove them down the road. You know what I mean? So we all have different things. But the kid, if the kid is scared, the kid can't ride the trike or the bike. That's a fact of life. Once you get the fear out of the kid, you get these fearless kids, they break a few legs occasionally, but I'll tell you, they're way faster in developing. Well, God says, I would like to provide you with some working conditions. Oh, sorry, I'm scared. He just starts off like that. No, I would like to provide you with some resources and training, happen to be the Word of God, and some training, happen to be the body of Christ. Don't necessarily like them all the time, but happen to be the body of Christ. That's the training process. And some to enable you to accomplish the goals that you need to do. And even in your creative bent that you are, I would like to provide you with the things that you can do. Yeah, but I'm really not that good. If you look at the people that sing and play all their instruments up there, they're way better than me. And so, I mean, my little thing is not that great. Shove that idea in the toilet and get out of that fear place and move on with the Lord. Come to a place of faith, and the only way you're going to come to a place of faith is to get into His Word. It says in Matthew 25, verse 25, again, this is a parable that was written about the five and the two and the one talent. A lot of discussion over that, why the guy only got the one talent. Kind of a ripoff, right? And all this sort of stuff. Interesting statement that the guy with the one talent said. Now, bear in mind, this is what these three guys were given. They were given his goods. Do you understand? They weren't. This was his goods. Our Father's goods were delivered to these guys. Whether it was one talent or five talents, it was our Father's goods were delivered to them. Here's what he says. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. And I was afraid and I went and hid my talent in the earth. I don't know if you've heard before, but we are just earthen vessels. What I have been trying to do in this past year with no success is to hide my talent in this earthen vessel. Okay, I'm going to calculate this out. Okay, I've got it all calculated out. This will work perfect. Doesn't work perfect, does it? Anybody tried to figure it out? Doesn't always work perfect. If you're a truck driver, that's the day you blow a tire. If you're a car dealer, that's the day you blow six transmissions. And you're in the flower business, that's the day the dollar goes to $1.10. I mean, whatever it is, we try to calculate it out and we hide it in our own earthen vessel. I'm strong enough. I can do it. I this, I that, I this. Because I'm afraid to surrender it all to Him. Yet He's got this perfect template of empowerment. He's got this perfect template of empowerment for us. Yet we don't want to surrender. Now we got to empower others. Do you understand? He created us. It says after, He says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So we are a flow-through vessel. We can empower others. There's three different types of scenarios that we can empower. There's the employee to the boss style of scenario, or child to parent, or student to teacher, or congregation to the pastor. Okay, let's go back to the congregation to pastor. That's a great one. If I asked you how many of you pray for your pastor daily, there'd be a good portion of you that do. Some of you sometimes. I mean, but it's not a hard one to swallow. Right? To your boss, maybe it's a little bit of a different story. Pete, you better answer properly here. But anyways, to your boss, it's a little bit of a different story sometimes because it's not always fair. How do I empower my boss to provide working conditions, resources, and training to enable my boss, my parents, my superior of whatever sort, to accomplish the goals and creative accomplishments for which they were created? Wow. Yeah, but my boss isn't a Christian. Doesn't say nothing about that. Doesn't say nothing about that. Yeah, but my boss is really not a Christian. You don't know how poor a judgment they have. My parents, you don't realize how messed they are in their mind. They look good on the outside, but they're messed. Are you willing to surrender to the Lord to provide working conditions, resources, and training to enable your boss, your parents, anybody in a superior position to you to accomplish the goals and creative accomplishments for which they were called so that they can not only be a contributing factor to the team but also experience worth with a sense of ownership? Have you ever heard of the salt of the earth thing? We're called to be the salt of the earth. You know who's my boss in a lot of cases? Customer. Oh, man. First statement I could come out with is ring neck. Had a customer call. Nope, they're not here. Had a customer call the other day. No, she's a single mom. Had her car for a couple of years, so it's definitely not my responsibility to fix what she's got a problem with. Becky gives her a great deal on the repair. She just lets into Becky. She says, I want to talk to the owner and all this kind of stuff. So I called her up. And I said, tell me your problem. And she tells me in no uncertain terms. While she's telling me, I hear in... Christians are really bad for covering up that they're Christians. She's a Christian. And I don't know the lady at all. But as I started talking to her, I realized she was a hurting person. Husband had just walked out. Job was extremely stressful. Single kid at home with mom. And now the car broke down. In the end, her last statement to me was, thank you so much for talking to me. God put you in my path, and I needed that. Do you know what? That could be your boss. That could be your teacher. Cruel public school system. They're liberalists with terrible views. Do you know what? They need the Lord. We're the salt of the earth. What has God given to you? He's empowered you to be who you are. And he's empowered you to allow his empowering power to flow through you to the people that are inferior to you around. Next one is employee to employee. This one hurts. Am I going to empower my fellow employee? Am I going to empower my fellow student at school? Am I going to empower that equal person that I have around me to just squash me afterwards? This is a dog-eat-dog world. We've got to take care of ourselves. And as much as you say, yeah, okay, now you're making fun of that. You say it. In your heart, you say it. This is a dog-eat-dog world. I'm going to take care of myself. I will not enhance that other person. God has called you to empower that person. I'm going to say this over and over again because this is the statement. To provide a working condition, resources, and training to enable that coworker, that co-student, that co-equal person to you, to enable that person to accomplish the goals and the creative accomplishments for which they were hired or called so that they can not only be a contributing factor to the team but also experience the worth with a sense of ownership. Wow. You willing to do that? Are you willing to do that at the risk that it may set your position in this worldly standard backwards? I don't know if I'm willing. In my equals, it's a fellow car dealer. Okay. Certain car dealers I like. Then there's certain ones. Any of my kids could tell you who they are, that I despise. Even as I read these notes over again this week, oh man, I said, God, don't strike me dead while I say those words. Because that's hard. There are some equals that we have that are just not that easy to empower. They're mean, they're vicious, they're terrible, but they're hurting. God's called you to empower them. Then there's the boss to the employee, the parent to the child, the teacher to the student, where you're the superior. I'm in that situation. I have a unique scenario where I hired a guy to do efficiencies. And he came in and he's been got a university something or another, some letters behind his name that says he knows this stuff. So listened to him and he sounded good, so we hired him. And he came in right away and he threw on my desk that my bonus structure was garbage. He didn't say it that way, but that's how I took it, because I'm the boss, right? I'm supposed to take things harsher than they are. And he says, you know what you need to do is you need to, he actually basically quoted this stuff. He says, you need to empower them to be the people they need to be. He says, what's happening is they get a bonus for a certain amount of production that they do, and they seem to hit a ceiling all the time. When they hit that ceiling, they don't go any farther because they're satisfied with that. They don't know anything different. That's what they're satisfied. They need to get that certain number. Once they get that number, they're happy. He says, take that all out of there. He says, every week, they've got to come in with two, they're in teams of three, with two new ideas on how to do their job more productively, more efficiently. I says, give me a break. These are a bunch of mechanics. Like, think about it. They're going to spit at me. They're going to throw rocks at me. Like, why would they want to do that? He says, you know what? It's going to be difficult at first because it's a whole new thing. But what you're doing is you're teaching them how to be the creative person that they need to be so that they can accomplish what they need to accomplish rather than us just making them little robots. It was a totally spiritual statement to me. It was a totally amazing statement, but I didn't believe it would work. But if I'm empowering an employee, I got to let them do their thing and all this sort of stuff. So reluctantly, I went along with the program. I announced it to the staff. I thought rather than him being new here within a month to do that, they'll really stone him and then he'll run away. So I said, I'll announce it to the staff. So I announced it to the staff. And just as I suspected, they all thought it was stupid. They said, you know, we can come up with a couple new ideas for 1 week, maybe 2 weeks, but after that, kiss it goodbye. We're not going to be thinking any. We'll be exhausting our resources. This is great. Let's start with the 1 week or the 2 weeks. Let's go from there. We're 7 months, 8 months, 9 months into this now. They're chomping at the bit for next week to give ideas. They've grown as people. They've grown in their creative ability. I had to allow my employee to grow as a person too. Scary because don't ever tell any of my employees, and Pete, shut your ears right now, I'm a control freak. Oh, sorry, Mike's there too. Shoot. Mike's now going to tell Pete, and then it's all gone. It's gone. But anyways, do you realize I don't want to let go of things? We're in situations where we are in control of the situation. We don't want to let go of that control. God has called you to empower the people around you. Most of you know this story. And when I spoke at this business school, I shared this story. But I'm going to share it again because I want to share with you one of the most empowering things that affected my life. Something that another individual did for me to empower me to be what God called me to be. 9 years ago, Arda lost her sight through a stroke. Now, if any of you remember, at that time, she was given absolutely no hope to ever see again. We took her to the Canadian doctors and to the American doctors, and there was a specialty. People from all over the world came to this place in the States, went there, they analyzed her eyes. There were no nerves left in her eyes that were not damaged. It was conclusive, both doctors. They analyzed for quite a while in the States, came out to us, said, sorry, there's no chance of her ever seeing again. Get hooked up with the Blind Institute, which we did. We were hooked up with the Blind Institute. They gave us the computer screen that talked to you and all that kind of stuff. And Arta came in for an hour every day. She was pretty consistent to come to work all the time. It was a very dramatic time for our family, very dramatic time for our kids, very dramatic time for our staff. 2 weeks after we got back from the States and getting conclusive words that Arta would never see again, and at that point in time, her eyes were still swollen, so she was in 100% darkness. Okay, they said once the swelling subsides in, 4 weeks or so, you'll see light images. And it was going to be, they figured she was going to be in the ranges of 2300, 2400 range, 2200 is legally blind. But 2 weeks after we came back from the States, we were offered an offer for our business. Now, throughout the years, I've been offered to have the business sold in various different times. But all the time, they wanted me with the package. And because I'm a control freak, I'm not going to work for anybody. That's crazy. You know what I mean? So I always didn't even look at those offers. This was the first time that we were offered a buyout on the business without me in the deal. It was enough to support quite a few generations. There was more there than it was worth. It was ridiculously stupid amounts of money. It was when the Americans were coming up and buying companies in droves at the time. And I don't know if any of you have ever been in Arta in my office. We share an office, and she's made it so that the wall between our two desks only goes up 7 feet, so she can hear over top. She can hear me, and she can control me. And so she sat at her desk. I sat at my desk. We can't see each other unless we did that. Did you talk to your mother on? Skype. Could have done Skype. I don't know. 9 years ago, I didn't have Skype. So anyways, we were both there, and I says to Arta, I says, well, and this sounds harsh, but you got to understand what I felt. It would have been better if it happened to me in my head. Do you understand? Like, you don't want it to happen to people that you love. And I said to Arta, I says, maybe this is God's way of saying, okay, I screwed up with your eyesight, so here's a pile of cash. Go and have some fun with the family. Move up north, and I would be out of my territory for selling where I was allowed to sell cars, start a little 25-car used car lot, and have some fun with the kids. Sounds horrible. But you know what? When you got a pile of cash dangling in front of you, and you know your kids are going to be set for the rest of their lives, and their kids are going to be set, and their kids are going to be set, what else do you think? And your wife just 4 weeks before or 5 weeks before had lost her eyesight and has been given no hope to ever see again. An artist said to me, she empowered me at that time. She empowered me through the Spirit of God. God had empowered her, and she allowed God's Spirit to empower his empowering flow to flow through her. Says to me, John, if we've been called to this life for the money, she says, then we would be crazy not to take this deal. But she says, if we have a greater calling than the money, then we have to think it over. Do you understand? She lost her sight at that point. Do you know how many people you're not willing to empower because you're in the worser case? You're in the lesser situation? This isn't about Arta. This is nothing about Arta. This is about the Spirit of God flowing through Arta. She always hates when I say this, but it is not about Arta. It is about the Spirit of God. You can go say, wow, that was wonderful, Arta, that you did that. No, it wasn't Arta. It was the Spirit of God flowing through Arta. Because if it was Arta, Arta would have said, let's go. And I'm sure you would say the same thing, wouldn't you, Arta? It's not about Arta. It's about the Spirit of God. You cannot do that in your own strength. You are called to empower the people around you. God called you and said, I have given you dominion. And he even said, over every creeping thing. So the creep that you got around you, I know that's not what he meant, but I'm just going to say it anyways. The creep that's around you in the classroom, the creep that's around you that in the church here, there's people in this church that you just despise. You're not saying it out where you smile and say hello and all this kind of crap, but it's not true. In your heart, it's wrong. God has called you to empower them also. Empowerment is an incredible gift that God has given to us. Are you willing to give it out? There's three groups of people here today. I just know. No, I'm just kidding. There's three groups of people here today. Did I get it right in? Yeah, not bad, eh? Announcements for next week. There's three stages that you're in right now. There's those of you who know this creation empowerment and are walking in that blessing. I'm going to tell you. The creation empowerment is based on dependency on the Lord. He will allow your path to come into a place of need for dependency. This is not a negative statement. This is a positive statement, but the fact is he will allow your life to come into a place of dependency on him or need for dependency on him in the future. Prepare yourself continuously in the Word for that preparation time. There's those of you who know the creation empowerment, but due to fear of the unknown have chosen to go on your own understanding. You've chosen to take from the tree in the center of the garden. Your own knowledge of the rights and wrongs and how to do it. I'm calling to you this morning and saying, come back to the tree that Jesus Christ hung on. Come back to the place of faith. Come back to his wisdom that is just so absolutely incredible. And there's those of you who don't even know this creation empowerment. Maybe you don't want to, and maybe you do want to. You need to know it. There is hope. I've had all the money in the world, and I've had times where my money got depleted. There was no hope in money. I'm telling you that right now. There is no hope in money. So if you don't have that understanding of the creation empowerment that God has given to us, then through the cross of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, there is hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ. You don't have to have hopelessness anymore. I want to pray with you, and we'll end the service with this, but I would like to pray with you, and we're going to pray for each of those three different situations. And I'm going to ask you, as we pray for those situations, commit in each of those situations. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father, we just thank you for your creation empowerment. We thank you for the cross of your Son, how you brought us back to that place of empowerment. We thank you for the fact that you've allowed your Spirit to allow that empowerment to flow through each one of us. And Lord, we just ask that you would empower these people to provide them the working conditions and resources and training to enable them to be the people that you've called them to be. Lord, for those who are here this morning that know this creation empowerment and are walking in it, Lord, I just ask that you would prepare their hearts for what you're calling to them, calling for them in the future, for today, tomorrow, this year. Lord, I pray that you would prepare their hearts. I pray that you would prepare them through your word. I pray that you would prepare them in everything that you're calling them to. I pray that you, as you flow through them, that your Spirit would minister to the people around them also. Lord, for those people that right now understand your creation empowerment but are floundering with it and fear has overwhelmed them, that they have taken on their own strength, Lord, I pray that your word would minister to them. Lord, your word spoken here this morning, your word as it is in their hands as they walk out of this church, your word that they have on the coffee table, is it a book? Lord, I just pray that you would minister to them from your word and that you would cause them to come to a place of faith again rather than that fear. Lord, the illusions that they're doing it still okay, Lord, I I pray that you would break those walls down and bring them to a place that you are in control again. And Lord, we always love to see people come to know you. And Lord, there are people possibly here this morning that don't know you. And Lord, as you see their hearts this morning, as they are praying together with me here this morning, Lord, I pray that you would see their hearts. And as they come to you and cry out to you and say they want from you that empowerment, Lord, I pray for them right now. I pray that you would minister to them. I pray that you would work in their lives and that they would become miraculous, empowered people with hope, and that your Spirit would flow through them to minister to others around them. Lord, you are so amazing, amazing good, and we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before you leave, as I was praying, I always forget the end of the story. For those of you who don't know my wife that well, about 3 or 4 months after she lost her sight, the Lord miraculously healed one of her eyes, only 5% of that eye, but 5% of that eye is 20/20 vision. And the rest of her eyesight is 20/300, 20/400, but she's gifted with that 5%. And that's an amazing miracle in itself. We often wondered why we went to the States to get her eyes checked. Thought it was kind of a taunting tease that we went to this special place that knew everything and all that sort of stuff. But they had to confirm that that 5% was actually a miracle. Do you understand? And so you question things in your lives as we go along. Sometimes the Lord has to make confirmations for you for the future. And sometimes those confirmations aren't even for this earth. They're for eternity. So I said to the music team, because I thought I was going to go too long, which I'm about 3 minutes longer than when Ralph's usually done. So I said to them, they didn't have to come up. So you can go and have coffee now and tea. And what you can do is, if you are married and you have not